Our friend George Hoffman of WBBM in Chicago joins us. Hello, George.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Ernie Banks is a bit before my time and a bit before your time. But if you're a baseball fan, you know about Ernie Banks. You know what a great player he was, what a good guy he was. Tell us some Chicago stories that you've heard in your lifetime and living in the Windy City about Ernie Banks.
Well, he's not really before my time. You know, I was a kid growing up here, so I'll tell you a story about me and Ernie Banks.
Okay.
1965, so I'm 10, and I'm not an autograph seeker. Never have been, really, but I went to the game. There's Ernie, and I've got my lunch bag, and I want an autograph, so I threw my lunch bag at him. And he signed it, and he threw it back. Now, I should have kept my lunch bag. I probably kept the lunch. But anyhow, I remember that. And so I grew up with Ernie Banks, albeit for the last, you know, say 8 years of his career. What's remarkable about Ernie Banks is he still has the most homers by a shortstop, yet he played more games at first base. So that's one thing.
And interesting.
He was Mr. Cub. Who else has that title? Mr. Anything in sports, except maybe Mr. Met, and that's a mascot. Ernie was sunshine every day. That was what he was. He was a great ambassador, not just for the Chicago Cubs, for baseball. And just one of the most lovable sports icons in the history of this city. I think people said, you know, who is the greatest sports athlete in this city? You know, you're going to say Michael Jordan, but Ernie Banks is probably going to be leading that list just because of the nature of who he was. And he was like that really just to the very end. Remember, he retired in 1972. You know, I remember when the Cubs hosted that first playoff game in 1984. They had, you know, they didn't have lights, so they had to play the first two games here and then the next three games in San Diego. And Ernie threw out the first pitch, and he goes to the mound, and he gets a thunderous standing ovation, and he just turns to every part of the field, raises his hand as if, keep it coming, keep it coming. He soaked it in, and everybody just loved him. I just remember that day. It just stood out. This is after his career. He was just incredible. You know, it was a concert here. Now, forget who it was, at Wrigley Field. And he's singing with whoever it was.
Pearl Jam.
Like 40, what was that? It was Pearl Jam. Yeah. Like 40,000 people are loving it.
Yeah.
Look, this kind of person he was.
Does everyone in Chicago have the story like you have with the lunchbox? I mean, did this guy literally touch everyone?
Yes, he did touch everyone. And people growing up certainly have stories. You know, where were you when he hit his 500th home run? You know, sparsely populated Wrigley Field that day in May of 1971. You know, people will just talk about, as long as you were, you know, you're alive back then, and you followed Ernie Banks. But even those people now who didn't grow up watching him would see him or would run into him or would be at Wrigley Field and kind of soak in that incredible magic that he had. You know, it's funny. I read an article today about how he tried to recall when he first said, "Let's play two."
Mm-hmm.
Apparently came up with four different dates in which he said it. I think it came down to like 1969 or something when the first time he said, "Let's play two," because it's really hot. He walks into the locker room. You know, it's like 100 degrees outside, and he walks in the locker room and says, "Hey, fellas, let's play two." And they're all looking at him like, "You're crazy, Ernie," but that's really what he is. And so they said, you know, and I think it's right, the greatest tribute to Ernie Banks would be that they have a regularly scheduled doubleheader this year in his honor.
Fantastic.
Oh, that'd be great.
One thing, yeah. You know, I've always loved his 1954 Topps baseball card. It's his rookie card. Bob mentioned he has it, and one of the reasons I love it, he's got this big smile on it. Then I started looking through some other Ernie Banks card. His 1969 Topps baseball card. He's right through towards the end of the career. And he has a gigantic smile. We're in an era now when if you take a picture of a player, they get the dog face. They just get that stern look.
Yeah.
Could Ernie Banks be Ernie Banks in the modern media era we live in when there's cameras in your face at every second? Would he still be that Ernie Banks?
I think he would.
Sure he would. I mean, yeah. There are some athletes who are able to withstand that today. Mm-hmm. You know, they're able to soak that in and to offer a smile all the time. I look at Russell Wilson. I mean, he's got the camera on him all the time, and he manages to do that. There are not many athletes like that, but then again, there are very few athletes, if any, like Ernie Banks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was always that way. Now, you know, personal life, different story, and four wives. You know, so we don't get into his personal life, but you know, as far as a professional on the field and the way he treated people, he always asked, you know, are you married? How are your kids? And if you weren't married, why aren't you married? And why don't you have kids? You know, he just, this was the type of person he was. He exuded, you know, that kind of personality. And, you know, it stuck with everyone. When he passed the other night, we're sitting there making phone calls to other players who were with him, Fergie Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Williams, who is still alive. And, you know, I'm starting to think, hey, this is my era of players, and they're starting to leave us, like Ron Santo a couple of years ago, and now Ernie. So, you know, but I immediately think back to my childhood. You know, I used to take the L train here in Chicago to go see the Cubs play. They played day baseball, and, they, you know, back then it was safe to go, you know, take the train and go see the Cubs play. They didn't play at night. And it was Ernie Banks and Billy Williams and Ron Santo and Fergie Jenkins. Four Hall of Famers you were watching play baseball, albeit never making it to the World Series.
His record for home runs at shortstop stood until who broke the record?
I thought he still held the record for most homers by a shortstop. It was broken? Now you've got me.
Cal Ripken
broke it.
Oh, Ripken broke it. Okay, I thought he had the most at 270 something.
But you know what? 277 at shortstop, and then of course he had injury problems. They moved him to first base, and he hit
right.
You know 230 more.
Right, right, and yeah, he's just a remarkable transformation. And remember, also a back-to-back MVP back in '58 and '59.
Well, yeah, with teams that didn't win championships.
Not only teams that didn't win championships, Bob. They
didn't win many games. Yeah,
they were awful until Leo DeRocher came in 1966, and then all of a sudden, in 1967, they started playing some baseball, and they had the fabled season of '69, where they blew an 8.5 game lead in August to the Mets. But you know, he played on a lot of bad baseball teams.
When people talk about Ernie Banks, I mean, they don't talk about that bust and then the miracle Mets winning in '69 too much, though, do they? And that to me, it says a lot about the man.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, people try to get past 69. Still,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
For those of us who are alive, we still try. Now, let's forget 1969. Come on. Let's forget it. Now people are starting to talk about the present Cubs, and maybe one day soon they'll win a World Series. But you can just imagine, you know, Ernie Banks playing for how many years with the Cubs and then living another 40-plus years after that, 45 years after that, and still never seeing a team making it to the World Series. You only saw a couple teams make it to the playoffs.
Wow.
Let me throw this one at you. I don't know how I feel about this. Who's the better player, Jackie Robinson or Ernie Banks?
Well, Jackie Robinson, it's really hard. Jackie Robinson was a trailblazer, and he...
No. Take all that. I'm talking about the player.
Well, as a player, Ernie Banks was a home run hitter in an era where we didn't think of home runs and steroids, and he hit over 500 of them. You know, as a player, he's one of the greatest players in the history of the game. I don't think you can fairly compare them that way, because Jackie Robinson is of a different kind of ilk. But, Robinson didn't play as long as Ernie Banks did. He was certainly a little more successful with the Brooklyn Dodgers and what have you. But, it's a player. Ernie Banks is clearly one of the greatest players in the history of the game.
Oh, yeah. Disrespect intended to Robinson, but,
absolutely not.
But for circumstance, maybe Ernie Banks is Jackie Robinson, today. It was never going to turn out that way. He started 7 years after him. Larry
right.
Doby was a nice player when he came in a year later, but
right.
He was never going to get the accolades. And he wasn't a great player. He's a very good player.
No, and the Cubs plucked Ernie Banks from the Negro Leagues.
Yeah,
they saw something in him when they got him. It took him 4 years before he got back to back MVPs, and so they saw the greatness in him. When you think of the greatest players in baseball, you say Babe Ruth and Willie Mays, players like that.
Yeah.
Ernie Banks, Ernie Banks is going to be in the team photo. I don't think there's any question.
Oh, I think
that.
He's there. So
yeah,
do you know, and I don't know what conversations you had as an adult later with Ernie Banks, or what recollections you have of your youth, although it was later in Ernie's career, but were there racial issues in Chicago as they pertain to Banks?
Not that I recall. not that I recall at all. I mean, I think that fans during that era looked at athletes who were African-American as athletes. They were athletes. And Ernie Banks was still the most popular player, even among Cubs fans. I've never heard, obviously, I was a kid.
Right.
A kid, you know, we worshipped Ernie Banks and Billy Williams, both of whom are black. But I never heard of any issues that involved him. And I don't think he ever Good. Told stories of issues like that.
George, I have one for you. Ernie passed away on Friday. Did you learn anything new about him over the weekend? Anything you'd never heard before that surprised you or maybe even endeared you more to the man?
No, just the outpouring of emotion and people telling stories like that. So many people are telling stories. You know, the All Sports Radio station, we're in one building here, CBS, and the Score, where I worked at for 17 years, I went upstairs, said hello to some of the hosts, and their phone lines were jammed with fans that wanted to talk about Ernie Banks.
Yeah.
Jammed. It's just like that's the kind of personality they had. I mean, he was 83. Their kids that call the radio station are 20, 30, 40. You know, they never saw him play, but he had that kind of magnetism on them, and they realized through history what kind of person he was. You know, he had his sayings, the Cubs will come alive in 65, the Cubs will shine in 69. That one, unfortunately, did not happen very well, but that's what he was, and he was a spectacular ambassador to a sport. I mean, how many people can you say today are the ambassador of a sport that way? I mean, he was baseball's ambassador. It's too bad back in the 60s like that. I mean, baseball was king in the United States, but it really didn't have, you know, the kind of media exposure it has now. That you know, who's the ambassador for baseball now? Mike Trout?
Yeah.
It's not like Wayne Gretzky when
no,
he was
you're right.
the ambassador of hockey. You know, but today, Ernie Banks would be the great ambassador to the game of baseball, not just to the Cubs.
If the Cubs had won a World Series, let's say Ryan Sandberg, who's a very good player and quite popular, if he had led the Cubs to a World Series, would it have diminished the impact of Ernie Banks, in your opinion?
No. No, but that's hard to say, too, Bob. It's really hard.
I understand.
You have to understand, if the Cubs won a World Series, half the United States would turn upside down. I mean, they have so many followers. You know how the Red Sox, you know, Red Sox Nation. Well, now that the Cubs are starting to get better again, they're going to have an even larger following. I have to remember back to the playoff series in Atlanta when the Cubs, you know, made it to the National League Championship Series, and they beat the Braves in five games. And game five in Atlanta, and I was there covering it, they had a record Braves crowd of 54,000. More than half of them were Cubs fans. More than half of the place was just cheering for the Cubs. I thought I was at Wrigley Field. You know, so that's, if the Cubs ever won the World Series, I mean, first of all, baseball would love it because the rating, if they made the World Series, you'd finally seen ratings for baseball.
Off the charts. Are you kidding?
Absolutely. You know, they would, it's like the Blackhawks now. The NHL loves the Blackhawks. Absolutely loves them. You know, they are ratings. There, believe me, when the Kings made the Stanley Cup Finals against the Rangers, the NHL was pumped. Darn, I wish it was the Blackhawks. Well, that's the way it would be if the Cubs were to make the World Series now. Ratings would shoot through the roof.
Well, the point that our producer Maddie made earlier was in Back to the Future 2, the Cubs do win the World Series in 2015.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, in sporting news, and I'm not sure, you know, whether or not they had gotten some pot from Colorado, picked the Cubs to win the World Series in 2015 this year.
Wow.
I'm not quite sure they're quite ready to win the World Series, even though Anthony Rizzo says they will make the playoffs. They are better. They're on the rise. They've made a lot of good moves. They will be more competitive. I don't think they'll be quite the team until maybe 2016, but you never know. They're definitely on the rise.
Watch out for foul balls down the left field line. Funny things can happen, Georgie. Hey, it's great to hear your voice as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Appreciate it.